Welcome inside the vault. This is a collection of previously unreleased lessons from eight-figure entrepreneurial mastermind, Arjun Robbins. And in case you didn't see the warning label, this content can be explicit and it is for serious entrepreneurs only. This is part two of Arjun's lesson from back in 2014. The lesson is all about how to build your team of superstars. And Arjun explains that there are five dimensions of effective leadership that you need to master in order to grow your team to its full potential. Let's go to the vault.
Working with Arjun is like having a shortcut to future you.
Every time I can have an opportunity to spend time with Arjun, I try to take it and be a sponge.
I thought everyone was crazy. You know, they were running to the front of the stage to see this person. Arjun's wearing his crazy shirt.
You know, he drinks tiger blood in the morning just for fun, and he's like breathing down my throat.
Sometimes it's terrifying to work with him. It's like he's looking into your soul, but it's growth the whole way.
Responsibility. If you're going to be the owner of your business, you've got to be the owner of your business. You've got to take 100% responsibility for everything that goes on in your business. Right, wrong, fair, unfair, there was always a sign. There was always an indicator. There was always a red flag. There was always a sense. There was always an instinct. There was always something that you could have, should have, would have done differently had you taken seriously what the final effect was going to be of your actions or inactions. It's important as we talk about recruiting, building, and leading your A-team that we don't make it personal about the person. When you build this the right way, which we're going to be teaching you and taking you through some exercises throughout the rest of the day today and tomorrow, the philosophy, the value, the approach, the strategy must be go hard on the problem, easy on the person. Hard on the problem, easy on the person. If you don't have documented policies, if you don't have documented procedures, if you don't have documented job descriptions, if you're not doing quarterly reviews, then you can't really go hard on the problem because you can't ever really identify or define the problem. And what you default into too often is making it personal about the person. If a member of your team fails, it's because your organization failed them. It failed to be what they needed to be for them to reach their potential. And if the organization changes, then you as a leader failed to take inventory to recognize that what this person needed before is no longer what they need today and invite them to move on with the next part of their journey. If someone isn't growing with your organization every month, every quarter, your organization, in my opinion, isn't really doing its entire job. Your organization is supposed to be something that gives you a better life, and it's supposed to be something that gives your clients a better life, and it's supposed to be something that makes a contribution to the community, and it's also supposed to be a vehicle that helps an A team get from where they want to, from where they are now, closer or farther along on their journey to where they want to be. There's five levels of leadership. We're going to be unpacking all this stuff throughout the day. These levels are cumulative. They start at the bottom. You build your way up. The first level of leadership is, those are backwards. Fuck, man. Position is supposed to be at the bottom. Personal is supposed to be second. Production is supposed to be third. People development is supposed to be fourth. And purpose is supposed to be at the top. And you build your way up. You begin People will begin to work for you. People will begin to cooperate with you. People will begin to help you with what you're working on in the beginning, because at the base level, at the first level, because of your position, you're the boss, you're the manager, you're the administrator. But that's only going to get you so far. Then you earn your way up beyond just leading people based on your authority because of your position. And they start to work with you and cooperate with you and support you and go along with your plans and help you accomplish what you want to accomplish. The second level is because of a personal relationship you establish with them. They know you care about them. They care about you. You care about them. Then you earn your way to the next level of leadership by helping people get better results, by being productive. People go along with you because when they go along with you, they get better results. They get better results. So they want to be part of a winning team. Then you earn your way to the fourth level of leadership when you develop people. They do a great job, they make a contribution, they show up, they part of the journey with you because you help them become better. And then the fifth level of leadership is purpose. They go along with you, they follow you, they contribute to what you're doing because of what you stand for, because they buy into your purpose. Everyone got it? Position, personal, production, people development, purpose. Five levels of leadership. You don't get to the second level until you master the first level. You don't get to the third level until you master the first and the second and take the first and the second level with you to the third level. And then you take the first, the second, and the third level with you to the fourth level and to the fifth level. It's not like you finish with the first level, you leave it behind, and then you go on to the second. This isn't like school where you leave first grade behind and you go into second grade. This is accumulation. You're accumulating credentials as you go. Now, it's important to understand that every single person that you are going to have in your organization, every single person you interact with, you always start at the first level. Some of you have been with me for years, and I'd like to think that you're with me for years in part because I've achieved the fifth level of leadership with you, and you believe in my purpose. In the beginning, you gave me a chance because of my title, because of my position. Then you gave me the benefit of the doubt because you like me and you know that I care about you. Then you kept working with me because you were getting better results. Then you maybe graduated up and matriculated up into a high-level program with me and you invest more time and more money with me and with my organization because you become a better person because of our work together. And some of you are really gung-ho and really actively involved in making a contribution and making really great suggestions and part of this whole process because you believe in my purpose that happy business owners make more money and unhappy business owners can't do anyone any good, least of all their clients, their investors, their families, and sure as hell not themselves or anyone else. And some of you have bought into my purpose, and your purpose and my purpose have become simpatico. But we have new people who have never seen me before, never spoken to me before, never met me before. And for you, I understand I'm still at level one. I'm still working with you really from a place of just my position. I have to earn the right to go to level two where I demonstrate to you that I care about you. And then I have to earn the right for you to give me the benefit of the doubt, because when you give me the benefit of the doubt and you just try what I'm asking you to try, you get better results. And then I have to earn the right for you to go along with me because you become a better person. And, you know, I'm going to say, look, just try this. I know it sounds crazy. I know it's counterintuitive, but you'll be better if you'll just give this a shot. And then hopefully, if we work together long enough, you'll get on board with my purpose. My purpose will be your purpose, and we'll change the world together. Everyone you interact with, every time you hire a new secretary, doesn't matter if everyone on your team is carrying you around on their shoulders every Friday because you're such a hero, right? The new receptionist shows up, you are starting on level one with that person, and you've got to work your way up to level five, right? All right. There are five dimensions of leadership. So you see here, is there a pointer on this thing? I don't have a pointer. All right. Well, you see here, at the bottom is level one, position. Then the next level up is personal. In the middle, you see what I'm saying here? There's five dimensions of leadership. There's five sides to this thing. One side to this thing is the leadership that you as the CEO, as the owner of your business, provide down to everyone below you on the org chart. That's from top-down leadership. That's the first. That's one dimension of leadership. The second dimension of leadership is the dimension of leadership where the people in your organization provide leadership to each other and back up to you. Even though I'm the president and CEO of this company, and I provide leadership down to people who are below me on the org chart, they also provide leadership back up to me. Everyone on my team provides leadership back up to me. Otherwise, I wouldn't keep them on my team. That's kind of a cool idea, right? During the breakout session later today, we're going to take the support staff and take you into another room and teach you how to manage up. I think they like that. All right. The third dimension of leadership is the leadership that you bring from the outside into your organization. These will be consultants. These will be vendors. These will be outside contractors. The wonderful audiovisual crew that we have here today is a company that we bring from the outside to bring leadership into how to manage a small law firm business, because they know audiovisual production better than we do. And so they're the ones who tell us what the screen should look like. They're the ones who tell us where the stage should be. They're the ones who tell us what cameras and blah, 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 all the stuff that we don't know about. In the beginning, we went along with them because of their title. Then we figured out that they actually care about us and want us to be successful. Then when we went along with what they said, we got better results. Because we went along with their results, we got better. Because I didn't have to be up here on stage worrying about all the audiovisual. My team didn't have to be in the back of the room worrying about all the audiovisual. You know what level of leadership they've not yet achieved? They've not yet achieved level five leadership with us, because I don't necessarily buy into their mission. I don't really know what their mission is. They may have a mission, but I don't know what it is. In order for the audiovisual crew, for the audiovisual company to achieve level five leadership with me, they have to articulate and indoctrinate me and my team into what their mission is. You got it? The fourth dimension of leadership is the leadership that your firm provides out to your clients and out to the community. It's sort of the exact inverse of what I just described with the audiovisual company. In the beginning, your clients are going to go along with and support your firm because, after all, that's your business. Of course they should go along with your advice and follow your recommendations and do what you are recommending or telling them that they need to do. Eventually, a little bit, you'll demonstrate to them that you actually give a shit about them, that you actually care about them. And then they'll be more cooperative. They'll be more collaborative. They'll be more likely to refer business to you. They'll be less price sensitive. You'll actually be able to help them more when they trust you more because they know you care about them. And then you will actually help them get better results. And it'll be like, oh, well, whenever I follow this company's advice, I get better results. So of course I'm going to keep following their advice and cooperating with them and collaborating with them and going along with them. And then if by following that advice, the client gets better, they become a better person, a better business owner, a better entrepreneur, a better parent, a better member of the community, whatever their reason is for coming with you in the first place, then you've got a raving fan, right? Now, a super out of control, super duper raving fan is the one who actually is on board with your purpose. When we talk about marketing and we keep hammering and hammering and hammering on your magic statement, how many of you are about to start your first 12-week crash course with us? Okay, in the first 12-week crash course, we're going to be hammering and hammering and hammering on your magic statement. And it's because that magic statement is how you communicate to the world what your purpose is. And when you're clear on what your purpose is, the marketing becomes so much easier because you can share your purpose and it attracts people to you. You recruit clients. When you're clear on what your purpose is, you can recruit members of your team. They practically go out of their way to find you. And the fifth dimension of leadership, and this is a complete game changer if you adopt this idea. The fifth dimension of leadership is the leadership that your clients, your customers, actually provide back to your organization. This is why when we talk about marketing and sales, it's so critical to only work with, you know, A clients and get rid of all your F clients. Because the A clients actually make you and your organization better. They're the ones who tell you what the market will need before everyone else in the market even realizes what the market needs. They're the ones who will say, you know, will give you ideas to make your business better. They're the ones who are really going to help you achieve your goals and achieve your objectives. They're the ones who are going to be your silent sales force. They're the ones who are going to be out there really helping you grow your business, going out of their way to help you grow your business. How many of you have gone out of your way in the last 12 months to help me with my mission? You see? This is why it's so important to keep the assholes out of your business. All right. How do you do this? You begin by coming up with your complete definition of success. My definition of success is based on three criteria. You're welcome to adopt it, but you've got to come up with your own definition of success. One is financial. How much money does your business need to produce for you, net income, in order for you and your family to live the way you want to be living? How much net income does your business have to produce in order for you and your family to be living the way you want to be living? Now, I want everyone, you just wrote that down, I want you to underline the word want right now. Underline want, like make a practically cut through the paper, write it real big black mark, want. How much money does the business have to generate, net income, for you to live the way you want to be living? Not how much money can the business generate for you to get by. Not where can you cut back. Not what can you settle for. Not where can you make compromises. The most important honesty is the honesty you have with yourself. How do you really want to be living your life? You don't need a calculator to figure this out. You need a catalog to figure this out. What house do I really want to be living in? What car do I really want to be driving? What vacations do I really want to be taking? What insurance and protections do I really want to be providing for my family? It's not just about the money. It can't be just about the money. The money is just the easiest way, the easiest place to start because it's so objective and quantifiable. How do you really want to be living your life? I don't care. I don't have a horse in that race. I'm not married to you. I'm not your kid. I'm not having dinner with you every night. If you want to live in a crappy little apartment over the railroad tracks and go to work every day in a shitty car that belches smoke out the back and eat crappy food and take vacations, you know, down at the whatever, I don't care. What I do care about is that you're honest with yourself about what's really going to make you happy. Because to me, the worst thing is for you to say, I really want to achieve X. To say, I want to achieve X, when in fact you really want to achieve Y. And then we help you build a team to help you achieve X, and we're like popping the champagne saying, let's celebrate, you achieved X. And you're like over in the corner crying because what you really wanted was to achieve Y. You got what I'm saying? We're going to be teaching you later why it's absolutely critical that you not only come up with your own definition of success, but you've got to help each member of your A team come up with their definition of success. And if you don't have the courage, if you don't have the self-honesty, if you don't have the integrity to be honest with yourself about how you really want to be living your life, then how are you supposed to be able to provide that kind of leadership for your team? Your business cannot grow bigger than you are. Personal growth has to precede professional growth. Your second definition, the second part of the definition of success is you've got to make sure that all your investors are in agreement with you. That means your family. Is this how we really want to be living our life? Is this the money we really want to be making? Is this the hours we really want to be working? Are these the vacations we really want to be taking? Is this the insurance we really want? Is this really what we're after together? Your investors have to be on board with that. We had a member who completely fell on his face. He was a total dud. Guy had tons of potential. I mean, the guy had lots and lots of potential. I don't think I've met a potential, I don't think I've met a lawyer who could have been a more successful DUI defense lawyer than this guy. The guy was brilliant. He understood DUI defense inside and out. He could explain those little squiggly things on the breathalyzer thing. He knew the chemistry of the breathalyzer thing. The guy was brilliant. He looked the part. There was no reason whatsoever that this guy should not be kicking ass. And he fell on his face. He was a disaster. Anyone have any idea why?
Family.
More specifically?
Wife.
More specifically? Family, more specifically. Wife, more specifically. Say what? No. More specifically? Look, I'm not being judgmental. I'm neutral. I'll help you build any kind of successful business that you want to build. I really don't care. The wife, I discovered after a year, is an ER doctor. He's trying to build a DUI defense practice. The wife hates the idea that he's helping people the way she sees it. I'm not saying this the way I see it. I know this isn't the way many of you see it, but this is the way she sees it. She saw it as you're putting drunk drivers back on the road and I have to clean up their mess. Surprise, surprise, he couldn't build a successful business because his definition of success was at complete odds with the definition of success of his number one investor, his wife. And the third thing you've got to do is you've got to share your definition of success with your team constantly, so you don't end up making the mistake that I told you that I made, where in the beginning, this person who will remain nameless agreed with my definition of success, but because I wasn't constantly sharing it often enough with them, I didn't know that our definitions of success began to diverge.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Tune in next week for more lessons from the Vault.